When athletes tangle with the law, we turn to one of 680 The Fan's legal advisors, Ray Giudice, on The Rood Awakening.
Ray is here, as he is each and every Friday. And first of all, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Let's talk about the situation that continues to develop, seemingly, at Baylor. Art Briles continues to talk. Now he issues a statement saying he never covered anything up. As an attorney, if Art Briles is your client, I think you're telling him in no uncertain terms to stop talking.
Well, keep in mind at this point in time, Art Briles' lawyers may not be the same lawyers that Baylor University has. They may have separated themselves. They probably have some conflicts. And in addition to Briles' comments, if we look at the female coach of, I guess, the women's basketball team's comments that are all over the place, somebody over there, if I'm their counsel, Baylor, I'm getting everybody in a room and I'm giving them a sheet of, here's what you say. I have no comment. The legal process will go forward. We hope that Baylor can, you know, move forward, that kind of thing. Now, if I'm counsel against Baylor and Briles, these folks are all winding up on my witness list. Yep. We are taking depositions, and whether or not they're star witnesses or not, and I hear Chris Domino down there saying, yeah, she is. But she certainly may lead to relevant evidence or statements that are going to be important in this case.
Let me ask you this. If you're the prosecution, you're going after Baylor. This is Kim Mulkey, Baylor's women's head basketball coach. For those that haven't heard it, she issues the initial statement, sock him in the nose, move on as far as anything going on, the malfeasance surrounding Baylor. She did that on Sunday. Here's what she had to say yesterday.
I guess you'd say it got the best of me because I really do love this place. You know, awful things happened here, guys. We failed victims here. But I'm encouraged every day because I see what's taking place to fix it. I just think we've responded the way that we can aggressively, financially. We've admitted our mistakes. My heart goes out to victims. How could it not? I'm a woman. I have a daughter. I'm responsible for how many in that locker room. In fact, I'm angry that we failed those women.
So if you're an attorney
there's an admission right there.
I mean, yeah, you're pretty much licking your chops, right?
The potentially under the law, that could be what's called an admission against party interest, the party being the defendant.
Yeah, we did wrong.
Right. Now, it may not be to the level of that's the end of the case, but it certainly, if I'm either a prosecutor or the plaintiff's lawyer, that's sort of the opening statement.
And again, aren't you talking to her and begging with her to stop talking?
If I'm her, yeah, ixnay. Now, from the big picture,
that's a legal term, by the way, ixnay.
Ixnay on the confessionay. But so let me give you an analogy. I handle right now. I have four or five vehicular homicide cases. They can be a felony if the driver defendant is either drunk or intoxicated or fleeing a crime and kills somebody in an accident, or it can be a misdemeanor. We blink our eyes and we miss a stop sign. Sadly, tragically, somebody's killed. One of the first decisions we actually have to make with our clients is, do we send flowers to the funeral? I know that sounds almost crass, but sometimes I've got to say, look, is that an admission of responsibility or liability, or is it a heartfelt, hey, you know, tragedies can happen? So it's that simple, but this is obviously much more complex. And
Ray,
many
let me
layers
ask you something.
Yes, Chris.
So Briles writes another letter. He won't stop.
Yeah.
Is he in trouble if it is found that he covered something up? Because now what he's told you, like, can he get in more trouble now that he's thrown out this idea that not only are my hands clean, my conscience is clean, but you people are crazy and wrong for accusing me of anything?
Well, look, he's probably made under oath statements under the Title IX investigation. He may have made under oath statements at depositions or affidavits or to law enforcement. So he, you know, when we have prior statements from clients or witnesses, depositions or police reports that include statements, first thing I do is we go over that with the client and say, is this still accurate? If it's not accurate, why is it not accurate? We're not going to sing a different song down the road because any good lawyer on the other side will just take that pre-existing statement under oath and just sort of roll it up and approach the bench, and then it goes into a certain part of your body as a witness, and it hurts. It hurts the trial. So, again, I don't know that there are bad lawyers out there or they just can't keep these individuals under control, but there's clearly a management problem.
This is something,
as lawyers, right?
As a legal case, this is something I would imagine, this Baylor situation, that will be talked about in many a classroom.
Law school. This is a textbook law school class. Probably you'll come up in Title IX cases for the next 30 years. It'll probably be discussed in lawsuits and criminal prosecutions, just like Penn State. You know, same kind of thing. It's those type of cases because they're also real, whether you're teaching young law students or just folks on the other side of the radio station, people say, hey, this makes sense. My kid, you know, Baylor isn't at a private school. It's $55,000 a year. I'm sending my kid out there. I know, think about all the other schools that have Title IX investigations going on. There are a lot of them.
Ray Giudice, before we let you go, one-time NFL player Will Allen sentenced to 6 years because he oversaw a Ponzi scheme, defrauded people $37 million in total. Why are people silly enough to buy into these Ponzi schemes time and time and time again?
The Ponzi is usually some charming person, you know, very, very flashy and educated and has the Maserati and all the signs of outward signs of success. And everybody says, hey, this is the guy I want to give my money to. He guarantees me 12% a year. Madoff made billions from sophisticated investors, some of which were, Chris, is it the Wilpon family from the Mets?
Yes, it is.
And that's why Larry Bonilla's, if I'm right, Larry Bonilla's contract.
Bobby Bonilla,
thank you, was based upon them knowing they were going to get 12% a year from Madoff. And they said, we don't care if we pay this guy for the next 30 years, Bonilla. We've got 12% coming in guaranteed. We just put the money here and it's paid for. All that collapsed. So the Wilpons, now, they were dopey there. But they owned the Mets. They owned the Major League Baseball franchise. They had either they were sophisticated investors or they had assets or resources to get a CPA, someone from Merrill Lynch. Hey, does this make sense? Generally, the old axiom, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Okay? You know, you don't have to go down and get 1% on a CD, but somewhere between 1% and 12% is what's probably right. And a good investment counselor. Hey, Ted Jenkins, go talk to Ted. But, you know, there are Ponzi schemes out there, and they never end.
If I get involved in a Ponzi scheme, if I can't stop talking, I think I've been involved in both of those situations over the years, and I need your services. What do I need to do?
Well, I'm not worried about you at a Ponzi scheme because it requires money.
That's true.
You
know, it's a very good point.
You have to invest in something. Your wife wouldn't let you. She's smart.
Touche, my friend.
But the second aspect of that, if you say something you shouldn't say or are about to, call me on the cell, 404-964-4185, the webpage, the 680 The Fan. I've got a page, too. It's got some video stuff. I find it exciting.